So there's two guys in the bar. I've always wanted to start a sermon with that line. They're both sitting there, and one of them looks over at the other guy, and he's like, "You want to play a game?" And the guy looks over, he's, "Sure." He's like, "All right, well, how about we each ask a question that we each have to answer? And then the person who asks a question and can't answer it loses." The guy looks at him and is like, all right. So he's like, "All right, I'll go first. How can a rabbit dig a burrow without having a pile of dirt outside the hole?" The other guy looks at him and is kind of like, okay. And he's just like, "Well, he digs it from the inside out." The guy looks at him, he's like, "What? How can it do that?" He's like, "I don't know, that's your question. You answer it." And so the guy he's just stunned. Anyway, it's a funny account of a bar joke. So we're talking about holiness this weekend. Great transition, right? And I want you guys to turn your Bibles to 2 Peter, chapter 1. I really like a lot of what Jacob just shared, because I'm going to then kind of pair off on it. Because the Christian life, we must understand that it's really not marked by perfection. It's marked by perseverance. And in 2 Peter, chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse 3. It says, "His divine power, God's divine power, has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence." If you'll recall, Vince said something about, in order to understand holiness, we have to understand who God is. There's something about the knowledge of God that's involved in understanding holiness. Verse 4, "By which this knowledge He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, on the contrary," verse 9, "for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." My main message for you today is going to be, I want to talk about how holiness is a matter of habit. What we need to do is we need to practice the right habits in life in order to form holiness. What Peter lists here, he lists faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. These are not the exhaustive qualities, but these are what I'm going to call qualities of Christ. And it's practicing qualities of Christ that is going to help someone venture into pursuing and forming holiness in their life. We've all tried to make new habits in life, haven't we? We are at the turn of a new year, 2017. The kind of infamous New Year's resolutions seem to still be in the air from the holiday season, maybe. But how many of us have tried to form new habits in the new year only to maybe make it down the road a month before we revert to our old pattern of living, to where the habits don't stick? Well, I want to ask, why don't the habits typically stick? Well, the reason why habits typically don't stick is because they're out of character, meaning we're trying to do something completely different than who we are. And that's difficult because habits are a psychological thing. We have developed a repetition in our mind of doing certain things, and to break that and start afresh is not an easy task. But that's something about what we have to do when we are practicing these qualities of Christ. These qualities of Christ are going to help us to break off and form a new habit, a new pattern of living. Holiness is a habit. It's a developed lifestyle. It's a way of reorienting your outlook in life. Holiness is something that we must acquire. It's not an automatic thing that happens when you are first born again or first become part of God's people. You accept Christ into your life. There's no automatic download that happens. It's not a new app that you can just add to your phone, so to say, of your Christian walk. It's something that you have to work at. We all have to strive for holiness, as we've been talking about this weekend. It requires effort. We have to be dedicated. Commitment and perseverance and courage are the backbone that's going to help us to break off and follow new patterns of living. N.T. Wright, he's a Christian scholar and writer, he wrote a book called After You Believe. And in it, he talks about what it takes in order to pursue holiness. And in pursuing holiness, he talks about reflecting the image of God. That's what holiness is. It's reflecting the image of God in our lives. He says, reflecting God's image means learning the disciplines of a God-reflecting human life, or a human life that reflects the character of God, things that exemplify who God is. While trying to learn these right disciplines that we need, he talks about the idea of some people think that we need to learn a list of rules. We have to have the check sheet, checklist. Or we need to kind of have a bunch of new, you'd say, practices in our religious sphere of life. Pray more, fast more, read more, talk to people more, go to church more. Well, Wright is saying that those things are important, but those things ultimately aren't able to form new habits in your heart in and of themselves. What he says is it's a change of character that really is what's going to help you become holy. Character is what counts. He says character, in his definition, is the transforming and shaping and marking of a life and its habits. And he says that character will generate the sort of behavior that rules might have pointed to, but that a rule-keeping mentality can never achieve. You see, we might go about trying to pursue holiness by thinking of all the things that we're not supposed to do, all the things that we're supposed to do, and those are good things to think about, but those things aren't what's going to bring about a change in character. Changing character is going to be about practicing Christ-like qualities, the qualities of Christ. And character is something that most of us know is something we have to build. We have to build character. There is this time, I'm going to tell you a story. It was a January, crisp January day in the year 2009. And this guy, Chesley, he was on his way to work. It's a normal work day, no big deal. Get the paper, get some coffee, then head to his job. Well, he was a pilot for U.S. Airways, and he went to where he was stationed at LaGuardia. He checked in. He was scheduled to do a routine flight from LaGuardia to Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, he and his first officer, he's the captain of the vessel. He gets on the plane, does all the checks and everything. They get clearance to head to go and take off. And They get there, they take off, they, like, everything's normal, they're flying. Like he's done 1,000 times. He was a veteran pilot. Approximately 2,800 feet in the air after takeoff, though, his airplane collides with a flock of Canadian geese. And in that moment, a couple of the geese end up getting sucked into the turbine engines. And he ends up having a failure in both engines. And he's sitting with the airplane dead weight, and they're falling. Not a spiral, but they're just descending. So he levels the plane out so it has maximum surface area. And he begins to go through things in his mind that he knows are required to try to get a hold of the situation of this crisis moment. He flips on the auxiliary power. He has his first officer grab the emergency checklist for trying to restart the engines. And he banks gently to try to return to LaGuardia. Well, as he's turning, he looks and he judges and he sees out he looks at his gauges, finds out how much altitude he's losing, how fast. He looks at how far away the airports are. There were about three options for him to get to. But he determines that none of them are viable. He chooses instead to do the brave task of trying to land an airplane on the Hudson River. What's so remarkable about this account is that when he was under review by the Aviation Committee for the course of action he decided to take of landing the plane on the Hudson River, they asked him about all the calculations. What kind of calculations did you do? What kind of an analysis did you do? How did you approach this? He said, there was no time for that. You know, I couldn't do all that. I had seconds to make decisions. He said, it was the years of experience that led me to choose the best course of action for the safety of my passengers was to try and attempt a water landing. It was the character that he had built as an aviation pilot and his experience of understanding what to do when the pressure is on that led him to make the landing and save 155 people's lives that day. Turn your Bible to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy 4. Part of trying to gain character, godly character, takes work, like I said, dedication. But we need to look at this as though it's part of our training to be like Christ. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. It says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Forming character and practicing the qualities of Christ, that's basically training. It's us training ourselves to have a new way of looking at life, to seeing that there are values that are different that we need to pursue, that we need to find out and understand that as we look into trying to be holy, that we need to dedicate ourselves to the routines that then form the strength of to have the character to make the tough choices when the pressure is on. We all would like to be strong. We'd all like to be able to withstand the temptations. And when we have temptation come in our lives, and it will, the training that we do is what's going to then, it's what we're going to rely on in those situations to be able to overcome, to be able to know how to act when we need to. I like what it says in Hebrews 5. Chapter 13 and 4, or verses 13 and 14, it says, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. It takes practice of living with qualities of Christ to be able to distinguish good from evil. And it takes being able to discern good from evil to know what is holiness, how to choose the good and resist the evil. Sometimes, how about this? You guys have probably heard the expression, practice makes perfect, right? Yeah. Habits are formed by repetition. We strengthen certain patterns of behavior by doing them over and over again. If we want to develop the holiness, we have to pursue those types of practices that then yield the result we're looking for. We all start as a child when we're born again, when we enter God's family. We eat, we drink milk. We know the basics. What Paul is writing here to Timothy is he's saying that the person who knows the basics is unskilled in righteousness. They really don't know how to really be righteous in the sense of what it takes. It takes growing up. It takes coming mature. It takes growth through repetitive practice, through entering the arena, being challenged and taking the training and applying it. That is the strong food that then results in having the ability to discern good from evil. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. There's another passage that has a very important message about how to develop holiness and the right character that can then support a holy life. In Colossians chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." I think this is a very powerful statement. Paul says, "For you have died." We're dead. What does that mean? How are we dead? What he's saying is that our former life is dead. We're to consider it to be dead. He goes on here, verse 5, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie one to another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all." Paul's making a distinction here between the practices of the old self and the practices of the new self. He lists here a bunch of practices of the old self, the practices of the former way of life. These are the type of practices that the Christian is to break off from. And what he says next is, he's like, rather than that, he says, verse 12, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." It is the new self that we're trying to pursue and put on. the practices of the new life we have in Christ. You know, I remember yesterday, and we were talking about holiness, Stan said that holiness is God's life in us. But he said that holiness becomes a burden if we do not see the value. The value in holiness is that it is our true self. And I remember reading, I'm a C.S. Lewis fan, and in one of his books, it's called The Screwtape Letters, he writes this fictional account of correspondence between this guy, he's actually a demon named Screwtape, he's a senior level demon, and he's writing to his nephew, his name is Wormwood, and he's a junior level demon in training as a tempter. And in this story, Lewis has Screwtape offering all this type of advice to Wormwood on how to properly tempt humans and get them to fall away from and abandon God, in which he calls the enemy. Now, Screwtape offers all this type of advice to Wormwood in the attempt to try to help him understand the ways that humans are drawn to God and how to get them distracted away from God. And this one time, when writing to Wormwood, Screwtape tells Wormwood to be very careful about what he allows humans to know about God, especially their life and their self in the way that God gives it to them. He says, when he, God, talks of their losing themselves, he only means abandoning the clamor of their self-will. And once they have done that, he really gives them back all their personality or their true self. And he boasts, and I'm afraid sincerely, that when they are wholly his, they will be more themselves than ever. The thing about forming character is that we can, forming godly characters, that we can find our true selves in holiness. And when we find our true selves in holiness, we become more ourselves than we ever could be. However, holiness is like, it's like lighting a match. The reason why we need to build character is because when you light a match, you have a small flame, right? But the flame will burn out if it's not fed with kindling, if it's not cared for. So you have to take a match and you have to add kindling to it to get a little bit of larger fire. Because if you have a wind, if you have some wind come along, it'll blow the match out and the flame is gone. But if you add kindling to it, you strengthen the flame. If you add more kindling to it, larger and larger logs, you build the fire and the intensity of that flame. And before long, if you've ever stood before a bonfire and there's a little bit of a breeze, what happens? It rages, doesn't it? The wind does not blow the fire out. The fire withstands the wind. Well, when we're living life, every day is an aspect of whether or not we put more wood onto the fire that we're burning, that's burning inside of us, the holiness that we're pursuing, so that it doesn't go out, so that the enemy doesn't snuff it out. And as Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, there's only two things that can happen. Either we become conformed to the world, or we become transformed to be more like Christ. You're either being conformed or transformed. What I want to encourage you to do is we all need to understand that when we're talking about character and building character, like Captain Sullenberger in flying the airplane, he had built character of what to do in crisis situations over many years. And I'm going to tell you one more quick story here. I remember reading an account of a doctor in Edinburgh. There was a problem with the anesthesia in the surgery that he was performing. A simple complication, actually it was a simple mix-up. And I remember reading about that there was one of his colleagues that was being interviewed by the media. And the colleague mentioned that the guy was one of his classmates in college, in medical school. And he realized at that time that the guy really didn't take his education that seriously. He would do just enough to get by in his classes. But then he would skip out and he'd go golfing, or he would go out on the town. He did just enough to get by, he said. And the remark that really stuck with me when I read this account was that the guy said that his failure in making that simple mistake in the anesthesia didn't happen just the other day when the patient died on the operating table because of that mistake. The failure happened 39 years ago when he gave his heart half-heartedly to medicine. The failure happened back when he was not serious enough about learning how to perform the surgeries, learning how to administer the anesthesia. He didn't feel, his colleague was saying, he didn't feel that that the other surgeon really took seriously what it means to build character and to care about how to know the small details that could make or break the situation. For example, just a small complication in anesthesia caused somebody to die on the operating table. Part of the sermon that Keith Daniels gave, Be Holy for I Am Holy, that stuck with me is he said, God can't consecrate what you don't dedicate. So the more of our lives that we try to dedicate to God, the more of the Christ-like qualities, the faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, love, more of these things that we practice, when we dedicate those aspects of our lives to trying to pursue those qualities, those things God can consecrate in us. God can help us then be strengthened to follow and pursue holiness. We're all faced with the struggle of our old man, the old self, we should say. But we can't let the old self be a Goliath in our life. We can't look at it like Saul did and wonder who can defeat this Philistine. When we practice qualities of Christ, we're looking at life through the eyes of David, a little shepherd boy who looked at this Philistine and said, I will go and I will slay this uncircumcised Philistine. For who can stand against the living God? We've got too much going for us in our life. Like what Sean said, we've got too many advantages to say that we can't. I'm going to go off script here. There's a passage in Hebrews chapter 2. Let's just go there. Hebrews chapter 2 real quick. I'm going to close here soon. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 14, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he, Christ, Jesus himself, likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Well, who are the offspring of Abraham? Well, Paul says that there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, but all are one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to promise. We have the help of the Messiah. We have the help of our Heavenly Father. We have the help of our brothers and sisters. There are days that are going to come when you're going to have a dual engine failure. You're going to be falling. What are you going to do then? Is that going to be the time to try to look at your list to see what's right and what's wrong? We have to form the character that builds us into being mature, to handle the strong food, to know how to discern good from evil. We have to build those qualities in life that can help us to bear under the pressure that when we are tempted, we will not succumb. Because to have godly character is the backbone of how to develop a life of holiness. What I'd like to close with is just encourage you, now is the time to begin. Character takes time to build. We can't wait until we need the character to figure out we should have started 39 years ago. No matter where you're at in life, whether you're new to the faith, whether you've been at it for a while, we all can grow. We all can become stronger. We all can reflect and be more like Christ. We all can have the God-reflecting disciplines in our lives. But it takes us knowing that we can't do it on our own, knowing that it doesn't just happen automatically, but also knowing that we can do it. And as Jacob was sharing, we're going to fail. The road's hard. Holiness is hard. But practicing the qualities of Christ can build a hunger for the holiness that even if we stumble and fall, it won't keep us down. Proverbs 24 says that the righteous person falls seven times but rises again. If we build godly character in our lives, even if we stumble and fall, we'll get back up and we'll keep on going down the path that God has called us to. I'd like to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, the Father of all creation, the Father of each one of us, Lord, hallowed be your name. Let us treat your name as holy, for you are holy. And unto holiness you have called us. Lord, we may stumble and fall. In fact, we know it's coming. Because we are weak. We're frail. We need your power. We need your strength within us, Lord. Help us to be able to develop the qualities of Christ within us, to train ourselves to be godly, to be resolved, like Daniel, to do what needs to be done so that we can stand before you in your holiness, for one day we shall. Father, you've called us to be part of your people, and we know that each one of us plays an important part in your plan. You've redeemed each one of us, and you've called us and placed us in the body for a purpose. Help each one of us to fulfill that purpose in holiness. And help us never to push you away, for we should never fight the hands that are holding us, God. For you're so tender and you're so merciful unto us that even when we do fail and we just confess that failure to you, you're faithful to forgive us. You cannot deny yourself. You are who you are, and that's why we worship you, God. Father, we want to be holy. We want to be righteous. We want to reflect your glory and your image. Help us to do that this day. Don't let us procrastinate to let another year go by, a month, or even a day. But the time is now for us to draw near to you, to be holy, to live holy, Father. Lord, I thank you for everybody here this weekend, for each one of us, for the commitments that we've made to you, to just come here to be amongst each other, to learn more about how to be holy. Lord, I pray for our commitment to live this life that you've given to us for you, that whether in word or in deed, that we will do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus to bring you glory, Father. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.